Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Thanks, Pastor Gray, and thanks, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. Welcome to those here again. I just want to say it is so great to have you and see your faces in church, those masked up faces. And everyone at home, if you're at home, you've had the joy and the privilege of doing church with your mask off, which is great. But we are looking forward to welcoming you back into the service as well. And I bet you're asking at home, why don't I get an invite to church? What are these people coming to church and I'm not here? I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute. But it is great to have you. And our Embrace crew down at the stadium, give us a woo-woo again. Great. Was that an acknowledgement that Graham is part of the Embrace team now? I think we could safely say that with one woo-woo in the building coming from Pastor Graham. And he'll be there with you next week. All right. Look forward to it. Very good. Very good. Today is a significant day. Some of our leaders are here in church with us, our life group leaders and our various ministry group leaders. Some of them are in the building today. And it was important, I wanted to invite them back for our first opportunity in church. And you guys here in the building, these are the people who have been loving you. These are people that have been serving you. These are the people who have been loving God through this time and seeing you through. And so we are so thankful. And I just want to take the opportunity to thank, firstly, our staff team, the church staff team who have done so much work through this time. Really, when you're at this end of the camera, you do what you can and you trust that God will do the rest. It is so great when you get to speak and you get to preach or you get to worship and you see people connecting with God, and we haven't actually been able to see that for a long time. They have done a great amount of work, and our leaders in this room over many months. Let's thank our leaders. Come on. We are so thankful for them. They and our desire is for every one of you, everyone. It is our desire for everyone who is a part of our church, and even for those of you who are visiting with us and have visited with us throughout this time, that God is revealed to you through the truth that is preached and through the community of people that we are a part of. And though I know we face challenges throughout this year, and I know we will face more challenges as we go on, Graham's just talked about one, we know that with the Holy Spirit guiding us forward, that we will continue to grow together. Yesterday, as Graham said, our men came back for their first men's breakfast since February it was. I looked at the last one, February. The bacon and eggs, were they as good as ever? Fantastic. On Friday night, as he said, we had 150 of our youth come for an end-of-year formal. And they did a formal because it was something that many of our youth, many of our students, were unable to do at school throughout this year. And so they put on a formal for our youth, and they had a great night outside. Last Wednesday, our young adults came back for their first in-person event for this part of the year. And our young adults, they continue to dig deep. They continue to unload God's purpose for the young adults in and through this time. We're so thankful what they do. Last Saturday, the Real Women came together and they had their first in-person coffee time since February. They'd been doing these once a month on Zoom, and they still continue to issue their monthly Real Women's Weekly, which is a great encouraging magazine that has gone far beyond, it fair to say, anything that they thought it would do through this time. God is good. This past week, Narelle has led the families from Jelly Beans playgroup back to in-person events, in-person catch-ups. And these opportunities for us to continue to serve the wider community is really, that's what it's about, really. And we are so thankful for the opportunity we have. Our Embrace team, again, we want to honor you guys for coming to church down at the stadium for the last 2 weeks and then the next couple of weeks as well. And I just want to say to the leaders, thank you so much for what you've been doing in keeping that group connected, in reaching out and caring for the community that you're a part of. Our Life Group and Connect Group leaders are here as well. Some of you are still at home. And they have continued to be led by the Holy Spirit in looking after the congregation. And many of them, I know, have already caught up for in-person barbecues, and there's many more to come over the next weeks and months to come as well. There are so many other areas that God has been doing this work, and we are so thankful that we are part of this community. And I hope you are as well. I'm proud to be a part of the Life Ministry Church family. I'm so thankful that this is a place where my kids get to grow up. It's not about the facilities. It's not about how great this thing is or how great that person is or anything like that. It's about the people that we get to do this life with. It's about being around people that build us up. It's about being encouraged when you see the evidence in others that it's actually not about them, but it's about Jesus Christ working in them. We're not perfect, but He is. And He is the one at the center of everything that we do. All of it, it's all about Jesus. And above it all, I'm thankful that God has chosen us to be this light. That every one of us has been put here on the earth at this time for a purpose. To declare that though we may face trial, though we may be banned from meeting, or we'll be shaken for many months, that the purpose of God for us still remains. That at the start of the year, we declared that He is Lord. That in the midst of everything that we went through in 2020, we declared that He is Lord. And as we come out of this and as we look forward to what God is going to do in through these times, He is Lord above it all. We give God all the glory. We give God all the praise for the way that He has guided us, strengthened us, provided for us, that we can trust in Him at all times. See, it doesn't matter what we see or what we hear. As the Bible says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, the word of God endures forever. Can someone give God praise for that? That the word of God, it endures forever. It continues to endure. And as we continue to move forward as a church, continually open to the direction of the Holy Spirit, I want to share with you what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks. And that's unfortunately all you can plan these days is a couple of weeks, but we will keep you informed as to what's going to happen from there. So praise God for technology. Praise God that we've been able to do a live stream and have you continue to be a part of the services live every Sunday and to hear the word preached. And if you've been tuning in with us, but you actually attend another church in person, we're thankful that you've been joining with us as well. And I hope you've seen life brought to you and the truth as the truth has been preached. And you can continue to join us online as long as you'd like. But ever since that day where we had to say to everyone in the church, you need to stay home, we have been looking forward, and I know that you have as well, to that day where the church can come back together. To be honest, I thought it would be a matter of weeks at the start of this. And maybe maximum a couple of months. Little did I know it was going to be 10 months between that time. And so when we come back together for worship, for fellowship, for encouragement, and we get to witness the move of the Spirit together, it isn't going to be an incredible thing. So we've been led as we've been able, and our desire consistently is to serve God and to serve you, our church community, the best way possible. This stream and the service is one aspect of that. But now we have the opportunity to take that to another level. So I'm pleased to be able to extend an invitation to everyone in the church, for as many of you as possible, to join us back on site for in-person church next week on the 6th of December. I know, it is very exciting. It is very exciting. So for you at home as well, that invitation goes out to you. Now, how will it work? Obviously, we know that there are some constraints with how many people that we can have. And so there is a limit, but we hope that we've made enough room for the majority of you that can be in church to come back next week. And so here's what we're going to do. For next week and next week only, we're going to be hosting two services in the morning. So we're going to change the time. We're going to be doing a 9:30 a.m. and we're going to be doing an 11:30 service. The 9:30 service, we will have our full kids program running so the kids can come back to Oxley Kids, and Pete and Narelle are going to minister to those kids in person, which is going to be wonderful. Unfortunately, the creche is still out of operation at the moment, but the kids are welcome to be in here in the service with us. And the Embrace team will continue to run down at the stadium at that 9:30 time slot. For those who want to continue watching the stream at home, it'll stream out at 9:30 next week. We'll be live at 9:30 instead of our normal 10 o'clock. Kids Corner won't be running because we'll have the kids here as well. And then the 11:30 service, we won't have kids program running. We won't be doing the stream, but we would love to have you here. So if you have kids, register for that 9:30. Get in quick, register your kids in. And then if you don't have kids, then we would love for you to register to that 11:30 service. And for the Embrace team, I want to say to you guys as well, you're listening down there in stadium, the 13th of December, which is the week after, we have a special spot for you here in the building. So you won't be in the mezzanine, you'll be in here in the building with us on the 13th. So registration is something that when it comes to attending church in person is going to be something that we get used to. It's going to be with us for an extended period of time. So you can unfortunately no longer just rock up to the building and walk in, because we do have that cap and we have the responsibility to make sure that's okay. But you have to register via the website, and we've tried to make that as easy as possible. And so the website address is lmc.org.au/register. We're going to have a button up on our website as well this coming week. And the registrations for next week's church go live as soon as this Sunday's service finishes. And so don't try and go there now. I'm sure people are just trying to get in there. But you can register after this service finishes for next week. And I encourage you to do that straight away after the service. So that's very exciting. And it is only for next week, but we will update you on how things come in the weeks to come after that. So it is very exciting to have this opportunity with 150 in the room. And we're hoping for more and more to come after that. So I just want to remind you before I get to the message today. Number one, that we will continue to be led by God. If he says move, we will move. If the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit and his word, will continue to guide us as a church in all things. Secondly, we want to do what we can to give you the best experience in coming to church. All aspects of church life, for that matter. It's not all perfect, and I hope that you give grace. It's not going to be comfortable in all ways. And who's enjoying having their mask on in church today? Anyone? Anyone? No, zero hands. So it's part of it. Not all of it is comfy. But it is worthwhile making the effort. It is worthwhile saying, all right, I have to deal with this, but I'm going to get back together with my church family for worship. Thirdly, we look forward to all that is to come. For the many, many visitors that have attended our services online over this time, for them to come back here and to meet you and to meet you, our church. I'm excited to see people come to know Christ over these next weeks and months as they come into the building and have a chat to one of you. Be ready for it, church. And lastly, 2021, next year, we're all ready for 2021. Our planning is well underway for 2021. And I'm thrilled about the theme that God has given us for 2021. And I'm excited to share that with you when the time is right. And there's some other changes that are happening, which are really, really exciting. God is moving. And we are loving being along for the ride. So let's just give some thanks again to God. We honor him for all that he has done, all that he is doing. Father God, we thank you for this day right now. Father, we thank you that no matter whether we sit here, no matter whether we're at home, no matter whether we're on the road and listening to this right now, Father, that you are here with us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. There is nowhere that we can go that you can't reach down, Lord God, and touch us. And we just thank you for what you are doing in and through us in these moments. Lord God, we look forward to what is to come. But Lord God, not at a surface level, but Father, we look forward to what you are going to continue to do in our hearts as we open them up to you and as you transform us to be more like your Son. So Lord God, let your love shine out of us. We thank you for all you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, stretch around, stretch your arms out. If you're at home, stretch them up in the air, stretch them out wide. People are far enough away from each other that you don't need to worry about the old armpits at the moment, which is a good thing. Stretch them around. Now, my dad has a bit of a special ability. And my dad has a vein in his head that tells you what is coming. It's like kind of like a foreseeing vein. And we would see this vein often pop up, my brother and I, when we knew that we were going to be in trouble. And there were times when we went on holidays, and we used to go on a regular holiday up to Wollongong. And we left early in the morning. It was about a 10-hour trip. And my brother and I would sit in the back seat of a car. And if you've ever been with your siblings for that long in a small space, you know, unless you get along with them really well, things aren't going to go the best all the time. And so we would get into it. He would pinch me. I would pinch him. I was a good boy. He wasn't. He would get into me, and I'd go, stop it, stop it, stop it, and all that sort of thing. Not really. We got into each other fairly well. But there was many times this happened, that you'd know it was coming, and the vein would start rising in his head, and all of a sudden the car would swerve over to the side of the road, push on the brake, and he would turn around and he'd say three words to us. He'd say, I've had enough. I've had enough. And those three words rung true with us for a long time. In that situation, the three words really immediately solved the problem. It stopped what we were doing because we understood, well, it was the three words in the vein. They were the two things that that really stopped the problem at that point in time. I've had that, and I've said that before after a day's work. If I've been in the garden or I've been moving things for a whole day, when I was at Woolworths, Christmas time, at the end of Christmas Eve when you're in fruit and veg, there was a time where you could sit back and you go, I've had enough. And you'd be done and you'd go home, you'd had enough with your day. But there's also another time where we say those three words where it actually goes to a little bit more depth than that. And I wonder if anybody has said that this year, that due to many, many things leading up to this point, or perhaps it is just one massive thing that happens in your life, that the overwhelming nature of life gets us to the point where we say, I've had enough. I've had enough. With our to-do lists ever increasing, sometimes that leads us to a point where we go, I've had enough. Or perhaps your calendar is so full that it can't be met by the amount of time that you actually have, and you say, I've had enough. Perhaps 2020 has stretched you like you've never been stretched before, to the point where perhaps you've said, I've had enough, or even thought it this year. Now, there's a story in the Bible, and there's someone we're going to talk about who actually said this very thing. We're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. If you've got your Bibles there, I don't know what you've been doing at home with your Bibles, whether they've been sitting there or whether you've been just relying on the screen. The screen will continue, but I encourage you to grab your Bible out as well. 1 Kings, and we're going to go to 19. We're going to talk about Elijah. Where's Elijah? He's here today. There he is. Elijah's in the building. But we're going to talk about this other king, and this guy was King Ahab. And King Ahab was really labeled as the worst king in Israel. He married a lass. I don't know if that anyone would have referred to her as a lass. I just did. And her name was Jezebel. Jezebel was wicked. Jezebel wasn't nice at all. And so what Jezebel did, amongst other things, is she brought in a lot of gods from her culture, from her tradition, and she brought in these other gods which actually steered Israel off course. And I've heard people talk about before about hedging their bets, about having a bet either way. And it's kind of what Israel were doing at this time when they had all these other gods in. They're like, yeah, God is good, but then I might go here and I might go there and I might try all these other things as well. But there was a commandment in place for God's people at that time, Israel being God's people, that you shall have no other gods before me, none. And whether you believe in another deity or not, the idea of other gods or idolatry is anything that we allow to sit above the one true God. Anything. Anything that we run to cope when it comes to our lives. Perhaps it's something that we find our worth in, or what we trust in for our security, which I know has been tested with people this year. Anything that sits above, that we do as a result of that and run to, is a God above God, is sitting above our one true God. And this is what Israel had become, a nation torn between trusting in God and being obedient to his ways and then drifting to the cultural norm. And it is a slippery slope to drift to the cultural norm. I was even talking to some people this week about TV shows that for me when I was a kid, this was a massive it just wasn't allowed. It was, and now it seems so soft because of the way it has progressed, that slippery slope. And before we know it, we're viewing something that 10 or 15 years ago, we were thought, there's no way I'm going to do that. Yet that slippery slope, that little toe that has dipped in the water has enabled us to go in knee-deep, waist-deep, and before we know it, we're over our head. So back to Jezebel. She's an evil lady, and she made it her mission to destroy the Lord's prophets at that time. There was one more famous prophet than the others, and his name was Elijah, as I said. And at this point in the story, he comes to Ahab. He comes down and comes to Ahab, and Ahab sees him coming, and he says this. He says, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" Imagine that, when you're coming to someone, they are, you're troubler of Israel. And Elijah, to cut a long story short in this moment, he comes and he challenges the power of the gods that they had set up against the one true God, the God that we serve. And he goes up onto the mountain. It's got him versus 450 prophets of Baal. And if you know the story, you know what happens next. The prophets of Baal are dancing around, calling on their God to rain down fire on this altar and consume a sacrifice. They spend half a day doing it and nothing happens. And they just sit aside. And it's funny if you read the story. And Elijah's just he's like throwing pot shots at him, having a crack right through it. It's quite funny. And then it comes to Elijah. And he prays, and the fire of God, the power of God falls and consumes the whole altar, consumes the sacrifice, the wood, the stone is turned to dust. It consumes the whole thing. And I wonder, and I want to stop today and ask you, is there a testimony perhaps in your own life, or perhaps you've seen it in someone else, where you have seen the power of God move in such a mighty way? And I want to say that because there is power in your testimony. There is power in your testimony. And I used to think when I was a young boy growing up in church that I had a pretty, I thought it was a pretty sheltered life. And I really didn't think that I did that many bad things. And I hear stories and I'd hear preachers come up and they'd share where they'd been and they'd shared all these ways that they've, failed in life perhaps. And then God came in. And I never really felt like I had that. And it took me a while that as I came to the realization and I looked back to see the way that God was working in my life, that I saw that there is actually power in my testimony, in the way that Jesus Christ has worked in my life. And there is power in your testimony as well. I don't want you to sit at home and think that there is no power in your testimony. With God working in it, there is amazing power there. So Elijah is here and he's witnessed the move of God. His enemies have been defeated. He destroyed them. Afterwards, and he tells Ahab, this is great, he tells Ahab to go back to town, gets on his chariot and he starts trotting off. And then Elijah ducks out and does something else. And then it says, it's amazing, in verse 46 of chapter 18, it says, the power of the Lord came upon Elijah and he grabbed his cloak, tucked it into his belt, and he ran and outran Ahab's chariot. But get him there. I just imagine this. I've always seen Elijah as a really old guy with a big, big, big beard. And as he was running, the beard was just like leaping back. All this to say that I think we need to acknowledge that Elijah was legit. He was a legit prophet of God and was did some amazing things. 1 Kings 19:1-2. Let's read it. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Jezebel, fair to say, was annoyed, very annoyed. But before we read verse 3, before you read it, I just want you to remember where Elijah was coming from. He had just seen God do amazing things. He had just seen fire fall down from heaven and consume this altar right in front of his very own eyes. And then this is what happens in verse 3. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. So all it took was one sentence from Jezebel and Elijah forgot what God had done for him and allowed that fear to take over. And it's easy for us, no matter how much encouragement that you've heard, no matter how many positive words have been spoken to us, that sometimes all it takes is one negative word before we end up clinging to that and forget all the positive that has done. And it's so discouraging to us. And I read this about discouragement this week as I was preparing. Discouragement is a temptation common to man in 1 Corinthians 10:13. And in dealing with it, sometimes we need tenderness and other times we need toughness. But either way, discouragement is not to be tolerated or wallowed in. It is to be fought. And I think that's a word for someone today, that there is discouragement, that perhaps there have been words spoken over your life over this last little bit or even previous to that. The discouragement is to be fought. And we fight that with the word of God and what he says about us and what he says about you. Let's read on in verse 4. And it says, while he himself... By himself, note that, by himself, went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. And here it is. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. I've had enough. I'm at the end. I've had it. I asked my kids this week, there's one. I don't know where the others are. There's another one there. Oh, good. That's kids in church, right? We haven't had it for a long time. It's great. It's great. Trust me. It's great. It's great. It's great. It is. It's perfect. I've had enough. And I asked my kids this week, I said, has there been a time in your life where you felt that you had to say, I've had enough? Or perhaps you've heard someone else or you've thought it, I've had enough. And they said, we can't think about ourselves. But Mum and Dad, we've heard you say it a lot. And that's true when they're naughty. And I asked Olive to give me an impression of how Mum says it. And it was spot on. Olive, do you want to come up and do it or not? Nah, she doesn't. I didn't think she would. I've had enough. I've had enough. And perhaps that was you at some point this year. And God knows. God knows. If you're there, or potentially you're going to be there at some point in the future where you think that you need to say, I've had enough. I want to give us four things before we go today that God did for Elijah in that moment, that he does for every single one of us. So we're going to read on. Grab it out. We're going to read from verse 5, verse 3 to verse 8. Then what happened? He lay down under a bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. Say to the person next to you, get up and eat. Threw a mask. Get up and eat. Come on. At home, get up and eat. No, don't actually do it. Stay there. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord, in verse 7, came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, listen to this, don't let this gloss over. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights by that food, until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. So first thing I want you to write down if you're writing notes today. Number one, God fed Elijah. I've had enough. And what do you think when you say that? I've had enough. Often you think, I've had enough and I need a holiday. Is that what you said? Did anyone say anything else? I've had enough and I need a holiday. I was going to say something else. The filter is in today, partly, and that was a good thing. He actually got proper rest and he got food that sustained him. And there might be some of you that are thinking about that right now in the time that we are living in, that Andy, I need a holiday. I've had enough and I need a holiday. And I want to acknowledge that that may very well be true, that you do need a holiday. But I want you also to know that that's not the only food that God provides that can truly sustain us in a holiday. I was speaking with Nick the other day. Oh, it was about a year ago, probably. Nick and I say that all the time. I was like, oh, it was the other day. It could have been 3 years ago, but it's technically true. It was the other day. And we were talking about it, and it probably was 2 years ago, actually. And I was talking to her about a burger that I'd had. I kind of like burgers, and we were talking about food, funnily enough, with Nick, talking about food. And I had a burger out in Heels, and I said it was a really good burger. I really enjoyed it. It was a great burger. A couple of months later, she came back to me, and she said, Aaron and I went out for a date, and we went to that burger place, and we had a burger. I said, what'd you think? And she said, it wasn't very big. Typical. And Nick was, it wasn't a tiny burger, right? It was a good-sized burger, but it wasn't big enough for Nick. And it was a good burger. And I get, you'd probably nod to me still. It's like, it wasn't big enough. It should have been bigger. I should have ordered two, exactly. And it wasn't a problem with the burger itself. The problem was that it didn't satisfy. It didn't satisfy Nick. It didn't have the right size. John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. A holiday is not the solution. It may help definitely right now, but Jesus Christ is the only solution. He is the one that feeds us, and he is the one that sustains us. As we read on, God comes to Elijah and he asks, what are you doing here? He meets with Elijah, what are you doing here? That's a funny question coming from God, isn't it? Because he knows. He knew, but he wanted to hear Elijah have his say. And so Elijah explains the sitch. And he says, did you get that? The situation. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? He explains the situation. Yep. Elijah explains the situation. Sorry, everyone. Sorry, Dad. What's getting over me? And God says to him, and he explains it, and God says to him, go and listen for me because I'm about to pass by. And there's this mighty wind, if you know the story, that breaks apart the mountains. It says God's not in the wind. And there's an earthquake, and it says God's not in the earthquake. And there's a fire, and God isn't in the fire. But then there is a low whisper, and that was God speaking to Elijah. So the second point I want you to know today is God spoke to Elijah. But in that moment, he was quiet before the Lord. Yes, God speaks through a big service. And my prayer is that when you come back to the building, you have church with us, that God speaks loudly and clearly into your ears about what he's doing in you and through you. God speaks through big moments. God speaks through chaos. But God speaks when we just simply come in our quiet time before him. I don't know if you've had this experience before. Cass and I, once we've gone to bed at night, we'll be sitting there and we might be chatting just before we go to sleep. And you can hear in your ear that annoying little noise. Do you know the one I'm talking about? No, it's not kids. No, it's not. I know you're thinking that way. It's that. You know what I'm talking about? When you go to sleep and you hear that little mosquito noise. And the first thing one of us does if we hear it, we go, shh, shh. And you quiet the person down because you want to hear, you want to see how close it is, you want to find out where it is so you can get that thing before you go to sleep and not wake up with 20 mosquito bites on your face. You want to get that. And I think that sometimes we need to get to the point where we are willing to do that to the world around us. Shh, shh. Because I need to quiet myself. I need to put myself in a position to be able to hear God speak. And I know some of you might need to say that to your job or what you're doing at the moment. Just shh for a second. To others, not in a rude way, but shh, I just need to hear God speak right now. God will speak. Let's make sure that we are active listeners when it comes to that point. So Elijah hears God speak. And what God says to him gives him both guidance and encouragement. That's point number three. Thanks, Steph. That God encouraged Elijah and gave him direction. And that's exactly what happens when we listen to God speak. When we've had enough, God encourages us and he gives us direction on how to move forward. In Elijah's case, God reminded him, and I believe is reminding some of us today, that though you may be busy and though you may feel like you've had enough and you're flat out, that the work that you do is not in vain, that there will be a reward for your labor. Whether you see it or not, God sees what you're doing, and most importantly, God sees the heart behind the work that you're doing. It is not in vain. The last thing I want to take from this story of being brought back from I've had enough is that number four, God provides helpers. And in verse 19 to 21, we see Elijah was walking in the direction that God had given him. He'd been fed. He was now walking in that direction. He listened to God walking in the direction. And he comes across this guy, Elisha, who will, if you read on, will eventually succeed Elijah. And it was another amazing story. See, God is painting on a canvas that is much bigger than the one that we see. God knows the people that you will come across their path. He knows the people that will come across your path. And I love the fact that we can trust that God has been preparing him for that moment. And the other side of that God has been preparing us for that moment. Talk about divine appointments. Talk about being in a position where I don't know why, I don't know how, but I was actually able to speak the name of Jesus into that situation with someone. Let's make sure we are ready to be available to what God wants to do in other people. You know, that cry of I've had enough, it was happened for Elijah, and I'm sure it's happened for you as well. It often comes from someone who feels like they're alone or feels like they're by themselves. I want to say to you today, you are not alone. Jesus is always with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, and God with you today. You are not alone. Though you may have had enough, you are not alone. If you're listening to this today and you're saying, I've had enough, I want you to be reminded of those four things, that God sees you, that he hears you, that he will sustain you, and that he will provide for you. And admitting that we can't do it ourselves, it's not actually a sign of weakness. Elijah was a prophet of the Lord. And in one sentence, came to this state. But as we come humbly, we open ourselves up to allowing God to do many more things in and through us. Paul, in his letter to Corinthians, speaks about the thorn, the trouble that he had, that God had not taken away. Jezebel very easily could have been removed from the picture if that was God's plan in that situation. And the same with the state that we live in right now. But God has put us here for a purpose. And let's read this in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'll rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Read it with me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The truth is, church, that all of our needs are met in Him. Though we may say, I've had enough, He says, I am enough. I am enough. And maybe the commitment needs to be made by you again today. That perhaps our reliance has shifted. Perhaps other gods have sit on top of the one true God in different areas of our lives. That as you make this commitment today, that you say, it's not, I've had enough, but God, I know that you are enough for me. So just as we close today, we're going to sing He Shall Reign again, guys, as we go. Why don't you join us? Shut your eyes. Perhaps you need to lift your hands and surrender again to God this morning. For those who need a refreshing, from those who need a touch, God is faithful. Open your hearts up. And I want to just be clear, we're not searching for a feeling right now. That's never what this is about. But we're searching for the truth, for Jesus Christ, to turn down the noise, the other words, that discouragement, and allow the truth of God's word to pierce your heart today. Father, I thank you for every single person that hears these words right now. Lord God, though I can't see everyone, I thank you that you can. Father, that there is no one that is too far from you, that your love cannot reach. Father, I pray for anyone who right now is sitting there and they are saying, Andy, you don't know, I have actually had enough. Father, that the truth of your word would come to them today, that they would know right now, that even though they sit there in that situation, that God, you are enough for them right now. That Jesus Christ, you are enough for us. Lord, be the center of our lives. Be the center of our church. Have your way in us, in Jesus' mighty name.
Wow, good morning, church. Yes, if the hospitality team could hand out the elements, that would be great. Wow, it sounds so weird to say that. So whenever I give a communion message, I always start with the question, well, why do we do communion? And to me, the reason behind it, the why, is always really clear just from what the Bible says. Before his crucifixion, Jesus tells us the symbolism behind the bread and the wine, as well as the direction to do this in remembrance of him. Paul in 1 Corinthians adds to the instruction to examine ourselves and to discern the body of Christ before taking the bread and the cup. So to the individual, communion is a time to personally remember Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and promised return. And that promised return really hit hard this morning during worship. I don't know about you. I'm so excited. But we also repent and we ask for his forgiveness and guidance to walk in holiness. So, however, in my questioning this time, I believe God opened my eyes to something about communion, a common thread in the Word of God that I haven't realised before. And this is the how of communion. So how do we do communion? Now, before I go any further, I do believe that there's a valid and significant place in practising communion as an individual. In fact, for the March fast this year, I spent time every morning with God doing communion, and it was so rich just dwelling on the gospel every morning. However, when thinking and reading this time around, the idea of togetherness of communion struck me. We know that the first communion was shared between Jesus and his disciples as they were reclining at the table during the Passover. And as I was preparing this message, I realised that more often than not, when we share communion, we're in the presence of other people. So we do communion together, and I think there's something in that. So let's look at the scriptures. Obviously, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell us that Jesus was with his disciples sharing communion. Acts chapter 2, subtitled The Fellowship of Believers, says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common." Later on it says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people." So this paints a beautiful picture of the unity and togetherness among the early church, especially as they broke bread or shared communion. Thank you. About Paul and his companions in Troas in Acts 20, it starts with, "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread," and that's communion. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14 says, "Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We, who are many, are one body, for we all share the one loaf." And that's the unity and togetherness in Christ and therefore other believers. So I believe the thing that is in sharing communion with another person or other people is the unity and wholeness in Christ which it represents. We are united to Christ and therefore with other believers. It represents the many parts of God's body coming together in unity through Christ, as well as offering encouragement to our faith and lives. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, and so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew, Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." And then it says later on, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." So my encouragement today is to continually share communion with others. That is to proclaim the Lord's death, resurrection, and guaranteed return with others. And whether it's at dinner tonight, over Zoom, or in a moment during the week, it's not a Sunday morning thing that we do after worship before the message. I heard the other day, Veronica down at the stadium shares communion with her young staff on a Saturday morning, and that was just so encouraging to hear. So let's together remember Christ, whether here in the building, at home with others, or alone. And I just wanted to say, be encouraged that even if you're alone, you're surrounded historically and even now by a great cloud of witnesses, as Hebrews 12 words it. You're joining generations of God's people. So take heart at the many faithful ambassadors for Christ. And Jesus himself also knew what it was to be alone on the cross. So I'm going to pray now, and then we'll have a minute to reflect personally. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to atone for our sins. Thank you for the promise of your return and new lives with you here and in the time to come. Lord, take delight in your unified children this morning who are remembering you, seeking you, and delighting in you together. Thank you for the glimpse of the great together feast that awaits us in eternity. Thank you that isolation tests us and grows our faith if we allow it. But also thank you that it's just a mere speck in your bigger picture of your redemption plan for your creation and glorification. God, you're enthroned forever, as we sang. Thank you that you're coming back, Jesus. And that these days are blowing away like chaff. As we reflect now, Jesus, remind us of your goodness. Lord, we love you and praise you. Amen.